Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, where I coach owners of cleaning companies every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on anything and everything related to building and growing cleaning companies. If that's you and you're committed to growing your cleaning company, go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. You will find everything you need to create the cleaning company you've always dreamed of. If you want to be a guest on the show, if you've got a question you'd like me to answer, you can email our producer, Natalie, at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com. We love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. Today, we have got a huge treat when it comes to guest expert growing your cleaning company. I'm talking with David Luke from Two Maids and a Mop. David started as a church planner for a quick decade, woke up, and 3 years ago started Two Maids and a Mop, the single fastest growing cleaning company franchise in the United States, the eighth fastest growing franchise overall, of all the franchises, McDonald's, Subway, all that, number eight, according to Inc. magazine. And David himself is the third best-looking franchisor, according to his wife. Two Maids offers residential cleaning business opportunities. If you want to reach out to Dave and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.2, spelled out, not the number, T-W-O, twomaidsfranchise.com. David, so glad to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, so if you think that I'm going to allow you to come onto my show having church planted for a decade and not talk about that, you're out of your mind. How on God's green earth did you get into church planting? And then how did you wake up and go, you know, I've planted enough churches, I'm going to start a cleaning franchise?
So I'll give you a little bit. So I came on with Two Maids and Mop was started before I got here. Two Maids and Mop was a company growth strategy. When I got here is when we started Two Maids franchising, when I came on board 3 years ago. But before that, it was a company-owned concept that Ron Holt originally founded, that brand, the brand that is Two Maids today. But as far as church planting, I enjoyed it. I did that straight out of seminary. That's kind of my calling. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to start new things. And I did. Had great success at the first one, first church we did. The second church also had very good success. The first one was in South Georgia. The second one we did was here in Birmingham, Alabama. Then the third one was where it got interesting. The third one, I wanted to do something different. I didn't want to do it as businessy, I guess, in the church world. I wanted to do a different format and not adhere to a lot of the different principles that necessarily work in business. I came up with a lot of resistance for that. I planted churches out of the Methodist Church, and they weren't very receptive to doing something out of the box necessarily. So my offer in my last year was to not take a paycheck, to not get paid, to raise my own support, and just give me the name, allow me to be my own thing, and start it on my own way. They did not like that. The powers that be did not like that idea. They wanted me to lead a much larger church. I was going through some transition, and I just, at the time, I didn't want to. I wanted to do something different, try a different format. And like I said, they wanted me to do it more business style. So that really is what led me into the business world. I actually met with Ron, the founder of Two Maids and a Mop, and you know, we had meetings and we had coffee and we had lunches. Came on more as an advisor initially, until 3 years ago. Over conversations, we knew that this was something that needed to be a franchise. There was something there was a void that needed to be filled in this world, I guess, and based on some of the marketing strategies we used and different things. And I said, well, gosh, you know, I've helped start churches. I'd love to you know, kind of build some organization and some things around this to allow us to scale and grow larger, which is exactly what's happened over the past 3 years. So it's been exciting.
Well, let's talk about that for a little bit, but that would be a lie. Let's talk about that for a lot. I would say one in five of the people I coach or work with personally, one of their goals, if not their main goal, is to franchise their concept. And it happens so infrequently. When I find someone that's kind of captured lightning in a bottle and really figured it out, assuming they don't want to plant churches for 10 years and then move into the maid industry, if there's a shortcut, how can they go direct? Give me some of the secrets to your success, or share some of the secrets to your success with Cleaning Nation so we can compete with you and knock you off.
Sure. The funny thing is, competition for me, at least, it's not competition. I've been addressed many times, whether at ARCC or I went to the Association of Residential Cleaning Services, for those of you who are part of it. And I've been approached when speaking at other engagements, and people approach and say, you know, I'm a competitor and I'd like to do what you do. And I say every time, we're not competitors. I don't view it as that. And the reason is 7% of the market right now, only 7% of the market is dominated by franchise. That's Mary Maids, that's Molly Maids, that's Cleaning Authority, that's two maids in a month. That's all of us put together in franchising control 7% of the overall market. 92% is controlled by individuals. In franchising world, this is what's considered a cottage industry. It's competition is really not in our vocabulary. We welcome it because anybody in this industry knows there's always another house to clean. There's always another customer. And in our world, that's why I don't see it as that. I think there's plenty of space and plenty of room for improvement and innovation in this world. And I think, in my space at least, innovation of other companies and other concepts actually helps us innovate. So,
what I got to tell you, I'm glad that you said that, because so often I am coaching my people about core values, and you've got to be yourself and you've got to bring to the market, not just I will trade dollars for hours, because that is, if that was the case, we are all competition, right? It's my house, your house. We all want to get the same house. And even though there's an infinite amount of houses virtually, we're still a commodity. But if you come into the market with two maids and a mop, I can't wait to dive into this. I promise you, you guys didn't get, and we haven't talked about this, but there's no way that they've had the success that they've had by saying we're going to be the cheapest, or we're going to be the most vanilla, or there's no distinguishing characteristic. So I love that David gets not only the, hey, there's enough, you know, the kind of bigger picture of there's enough pie for everybody, right? I don't need your crumbs and you don't need mine. There's enough for everybody, right? But also, they're different. They don't do everything the way they do. So I can't knock David off, because I would just be a poor shell of them, right? If he tried to be a podcast host, he'd probably be a great David Luke, but an awful Mike Campion. So I love that. And it's so funny that the people at the lower levels consistently think, and I was totally being facetious, but thanks for calling me on it. They think we're all in competition. If you get a customer, I lost a customer. And the higher levels you get, not just in the cleaning industry, in any industry, people have exactly the same philosophy as David does, in terms of I'm going to get mine, you're going to get yours, I'll be me, you be you, and it'll all sort out. Am I putting words in your mouth, David, or are we kind of singing the same tune?
That I think there's plenty to go around. I do.
Okay.
I mean, cool. There's a competition. No, I really don't. I guess in every market we've gone in, there's the demand far outstrips the supply. In an economics, that's the best businesses to be in. That's why, you know, the cleaning business as a whole, and I say this over and over again to people I meet with, people say it's not sexy. You know, you clean toilets, you clean floors, it's not a very sexy business. And in franchising, that's all we hear. In franchising, you have a sandwich shop or you have a gym, and it's very sexy. But for me, sexy is because I understand economics. Economics says where there's great demand and low supply, businesses ripe for success. And that's what we're in. I mean, in just this industry as a whole, the cleaning industry as a whole, no market that we've ever entered into, from, you know, Minneapolis to Tampa, Florida, no market that we've ever entered into is fully supplied with the amount of cleaners needed to clean every house in that market. It's just not the case. We have always seen where the supply it does not equal the demand needed.
I forget who said it, but I want to say Gary Halper, but I don't think that's it. A great marketer was speaking and asked the audience this was an audience of educated, high caliber folks. And he said, if you wanted to open a restaurant, what's the number one thing that you would need? And he took questions that it was great food, great service, clean restrooms, systems, processes, good employees, good hiring, all this stuff. And he said, no, the number one thing, if you're going to open a restaurant, you want is a group of ravenously hungry people, which is exactly what David said. Sure, we could go into a place and try and explain to folks that, you know, they need this or they need that, but it's so much easier to just find a market where there's a shortage of, you know, if there's a shortage of nurses, which I believe there is right now, you can make pretty good money being a nurse. If there's a shortage of cleaners, and I like the not sexy, right? Because the sexy stuff, like quote unquote, the gyms, and if you think that's sexy, be a gym owner for a month, you'll see. You know, there's a lot more people that are physical trainers that have visions of grandeur to be a gym. So there's a lot of competition for like kind of the same people trying to lose weight. But you're exactly right, David. There is almost an insatiable appetite to save time. And cleaning for other people is really, I think that's what we're selling, is not your toilet is dirty, your microwave is a mess, I will fix that. It is, you would like time with your family, I can provide that. Fair?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So tell me about what, because again, the two kind of twin towers I get and coach on a lot is I need customers. I can't get customers. How do I find customers? And then I need employees. I can't keep employees. I get the wrong employees. They like cheat and steal. Do you find those are equally difficult for you? Or tell us a little bit about where you stand on those and how you've dealt with both of those issues.
So customers, the first one, customers, is actually in two minutes of the mock world, it has been exceptionally easy. And it's not because of a lot of hard work that's gone into how we market, but we do a conference called MayCon. Once a year, we bring in cleaning experts, trainers. We put it on for our franchisees and anybody interested in the cleaning industry. So it's called MadeCon. We're in our, I guess, coming up fourth year of doing those. And during 2 years ago, we did a MadeCon, and we said on a normal day, our average is 5 to 7 leads a day. And we're wondering how we can get all the phone calls. So we literally had a talk about it, how to deal with as many leads as we're getting. One of the cleaning experts in the back of the room said, wait, I think you said 5 to 7 a day. And wait, you meant to say 5 to 7 a week, because that's an amazing week. And I said, no, it's 5 to 7 a day for us. She said, what in the world? How are you doing that? It's one thing that we've learned well. My background is actually in marketing. My background was, I went to the University of Georgia to do marketing. But Two Maids of Mop has known how to do marketing way before I got here. We have a focused approach, a targeted approach to marketing. We are able to be in front of customers at their decision points. We do that better than, right now we're doing that better than everybody in our industry, whether it's developing the software, which we've been doing, developing the app we have. We do the marketing side of what we do better than everybody else in our industry. We have a marketing team in-house now that handles all our SEO, search engine optimization, search engine marketing, and all of our analytics that we do. So if you ask me on a normal day, that's what I spend most of my time in, is overseeing all the different analytical information that we're collecting and receiving. We can tell how much time they're on the site, how long it took them to make a phone call, to where they phone called from and what they just ate 4 minutes ago before they made the phone call. It is amazing what we can find out from people, and we spend a lot of time and effort in that manner.
All right. So break that down, if you would, for the people listening. What I get it. They're going, great. That's awesome. 5 to 7 leads a day. That's amazing. And obviously you're talking, I'm assuming that's per franchise or for the whole organization, just to be clear.
Per franchise.
Okay, cool. I thought that's what that you meant. I just wanted to make sure. If I was curious, I figured others might be. So each franchise generally, and I'm sure some are doing better, some are doing worse, but around 5 to 7 leads per franchise per day, which is amazing. So And we'll talk about, well, why don't we just give David and his people the money to have them show you how to do that? So we'll definitely talk about that. But for the people that aren't franchising or just aren't in that space, is most of that online, offline? Give us some tips of how we can kind of replicate that success.
So, yes, the best way to replicate the success, yes, of course, is to buy a two-man franchise, because that is part of our that's part of our brand and identity, and that's part of our secret sauce. So I really I can't give you all of our marketing know-how, at least in, you know, a 40-minute phone call or an interview. But a lot of that is done online, but there's still opportunity in other avenues, whether it's Yelp, whether it's Angie's List, whether it's radio, whether it's TV. What you have to do, though, and this is true in any marketing strategy that you choose to take, is choose something and do it well. I don't know if I can use the term half-ass on the show, but
you just did, my friend.
That kills a lot of people. Choose what you do and do it well. Don't go at it half-cocked. I don't care if it's online. I don't care if it's radio. I don't care what it is. But do it well. Do it better than others are doing it. So I don't want to say one. There's not one magic bullet. There's not some quick solution to this issue, except do it well and hustle.
Tell me about that. I want to be as specific as we can to actually give some value to the audience for investing their time. What does do it well mean to you and to Two Maids and a Mop?
So do it well means understand your market, understand your customers, ask them where they're finding their information. That's your first base, is actually ask people that are hiring. Understand your customers and buying habits. And then understand the medium that they use to reach them. Understand your cost. Understand your cost per click if it's online. Understand your cost per impression. If it's TV or radio, understand how much you're paying for, even if it's direct mail piece. You know, two large franchise brands use direct mail pieces to great success. Maybe it's direct mail. Maybe it's door hangers. Maybe it's sign. But you have to know what your impressions are. You have to have the analytics. And this is when it gets difficult for most cleaning owners, is you have to treat the business like a business. You can't, you know, focus on the next home and the next home and the best ways to clean dirt. You have to focus on developing the business and understand the advertising mediums out there. So there's, again, for us, I mean, that like I said, that's a lot. We spend a lot of time and effort in that arena, I guess, to understand exactly what it is we're doing. So I want to say this too, when it comes to, you know, online. Well, this is it, Dave. Online has got to be the number one way to get customers. It's just got to be. So here's what's happening. And I'll just give you an overview of the advertising industry, because iHeartMedia is a great big player. iHeartMedia is millions and millions of dollars in debt because more and more people are moving away from radio and going strictly to online, more and more of everybody. The problem is, when, as I see it, that means there's opportunity being created. Because if everybody tries to be a big player on online space, that means nobody is a big player. I want you to understand that.
Yeah, so I got to say, for those of you that are loyal listeners, I can hear in your mind you're going, wait a second, Mike, you're coaching this guy up. You guys talk before the thing, because David is saying exactly what I'm kind of coaching. I love just being silent and hearing good, solid, foundational marketing coming out of David's mouth. So let me kind of recap what I thought I heard from my perspective, Dave, and you can kind of correct me or say, no, that's exactly what I was saying. So many people come to me, and again, I wasn't trying to do that coming to you, but I do want to get kind of feedback in terms of what's working, what's not. But so many people come to me, and I'm talking about foundational concepts like you must understand who your customer is, what keeps them up at night, what their pain is, what they're passionate about, how they make decisions, where they go for information, what magazines do they read, how old are they, what associations do they belong to, on and on and on. And I'll say that and just give them kind of really the valuable foundation that you've got to have to build any business, cleaning included, and they'll go, so should I do SEO? And they totally missed the point. Like, maybe, I don't know. What does your customer want? What are they fired up about? Are they online? Are they searching with Google? What I don't know. Let's talk about your customer. So I love, and it sounds so great coming out of somebody else's mouth that's having some success, just that kind of anti, there's no such thing as just spend $10,000 a month in direct mail and you'll be successful. Maybe, does your audience read the mail? What's their message? Are you having that right message on the mail? What's the call to action? Is it powerful? Is it compelling to your customer? And guess what? If you're residential, your retired couple living in an 1,800 square foot condo on a fixed income is a very different messaging requirements than your young newlywed couple that's pregnant, than your 42-year-old, two incomes, you know, four kids at school. They're all very different. So I'd love what you're saying. Are we on the same page, David, or am I just trying to jam my message into your mouth?
Definitely agree.
Okay, cool. So thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that because it's, again, I beat that same drum for a long time and it sounds like you're doing the same thing in your circles of influence. So we'll come together and beat the same drum together, my friend. So let's turn the page. Now that, again, there's no silver bullet, what I hear you saying before we start talking about attracting the right employees, I want to circle the wagons and kind of put a bow on what we talked about. What I heard you say is, most of what you would encourage people to do or the success that you've been having is online search engine optimization, probably some content marketing, maybe some, I'm sure, some paid advertising. So online is where you feel the most opportunity is. But the key to that isn't, well, if you just give Google a bunch of words on AdWords, you'll succeed. That's crazy. What you do is you, again, I'm going to totally put words in your mouth. Feel free to correct me. It sounds like you just know your target customer better than everybody else does, and you're able to communicate them with them in a more compelling way than everyone else is. Is that a fair summary, or anything else you want to add before we change topic?
No, I mean that's been a lot of our success. Definitely been a lot of our success.
Cool. Well, thank you for sharing that and encouraging Cleaning Nation that when they, you know, kind of do the right things, they're really on the right track, and there is no magic bullet. You know, as much as it'd be nice if there was. So that said, let's talk a little bit about attracting talent. I don't know how much you do that, how much you help your people with, or what your perspective is, but I find kind of that zero to, I don't know, maybe $100,000, $150,000 in revenue. There's a lot of, how do I get new customers? I need new customers, customer, customer, customer. Once they break that barrier, kind of to get to that couple hundred thousand up to a million, up to maybe half a million is a lot of, how do I get talent? And then half a million to a million is more systems. So talk to me about the talent. What's your, I don't want to say secret sauce, but what do you guys do that helps your people attract the best talent and not have the turnover that the cleaning industry is known for?
So I'm going to answer this in two parts. The first one is the levels at which people go through in their cleaning business. It's something I've heard before a lot, and you just said it just then. You've actually said there's different hit benchmarks, 100,000, 500,000, a million, you name it. In our world, we notice the same benchmarks. Our benchmarks are 200, 400. These are kind of the benchmarks at which there's this level out or plateau scenario. 200,000, 400,000, until you reach about 700,000. I don't know why it's from 600,000 to 700,000. We've seen another. And then once you break past that, it's amazing how quickly we've seen them go. It doesn't seem like it, but they go from 600 to a million. Because for us, I mean, $1 million in sales. And I don't know if this is everybody, but $1 million in sales is about 300. Homes that are on a recurring basis. That's 300 customers that are on a recurring basis. So that number is not very huge, but you can just imagine, you know, if you're cleaning an average of 26 times a year, $120 a clean, you're looking at a north of 3,000 per client. 3,000 times 300 of those, you're right at a million. So that's kind of our metrics that we've seen, these benchmarks that we've hit. Now, to your talent question, this is a tougher question than anybody right now can answer, not just in the cleaning business, but any business. So for us, we've had meetings with one of kind of our brand ambassadors when it comes to talent, and that's Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A does an amazing job at recruiting young people, minimum wage even, getting good talent and keeping good talent. I don't know if everybody in your listening market, I guess, has a Chick-fil-A, but Chick-fil-A strives in delivering amazing customer service and hiring the best people. Now, this phrase I'm about to tell you is not a David Luke phrase or two major mom. This is literally the phrase from Chick-fil-A that I heard from them, and they call it a war. The war is not on customers. The war is on talent. a war on talent is going on in this industry, in this world today. Finding and keeping good people is the beating drum of AT&T to Bank of America to Coca-Cola to Green Clean Maid Service, you name it. Finding and keeping good talent is the number one concern of almost every business in America. Why is that a big thing of cleaning business? It's because we see so much turnover. Everybody knows, and if you've had a cleaning business for a day, you're going to experience turnover. It comes with this industry. We've noticed industry averages of about 3 months. The lifespan of an average cleaning employee is about 3 months. So if your average is better than 3 months, you're doing better than the industry standard. So for us, we try to get that average north of 1 year. Now, we do a lot of different things. We're trying to be highly competitive in getting good talent. You may think it's just, hey, that's all it is. Everybody just cares about pay. So for me, it's different. It's not that at all. In all world, I think it's value. Now, I'm going to speak as a franchisor. But understand that me as a franchisor, I can't enforce any of these relationships to my franchisees, but it's something I talk about often, just within our culture. We try to build and strengthen a culture environment of every single office so that every single team member with two maids of the mop feels valued. People don't necessarily mark their value because they got paid $10 an hour, $12 an hour, to $15 an hour. Not many people do. That's a rare thing if they do. In reality, people want to feel value, feel more of an intrinsic value in what they do, and they either get that by the job they're doing, and they feel a great sense of joy that something was dirty and now it's clean. They're giving back time to their customers. Or they've been given a value from the manager or their owner that it values them, highly values them as people, highly values them not just as arms, feet, and legs. And that's what we get to a lot of times. In opinion, I think over and over again that we hire out of desperation. Desperation is the biggest killer to any culture if you hire people out of desperation because they're two arms, two legs, they're breathing. Lord, they can clean a toilet, I'll just hire them. That should not be your case at all. If that's the case, we'll always be with it. If you're not valuing people, valuing them as individuals and as people, I think you're always going to have turnover. And for me, that's why we have such a culture of valuing our people and two maids of the mop, because we want to make sure they know that we think a lot of them. We have a lot of different things that we're doing now, even introducing in Two Maids World. We're actually starting a Two Maids University to where, at least hopefully, it looks like we're going to be starting that next year, to where our team members can qualify for scholarships for their dependents. If they have children that would like to go to college, and we're setting up a program to where they can. Health insurance is also another option that we're slowly introducing in our world. But we want to make sure that our team members, every one of our team members, feels valued. And that's another key to our success, honestly,
yeah.
Is that our customers love that they know these people and they've been with us for years. You know, we have... Gosh, we've been around for 13 years, and we have team members that have been with us for 13 years. Our original two that were hired within the first month are still here today with Two Maids of the Mop. One of our first cleaners, trainers, managers, do-it-all people, she's actually our area director now, and she oversees all the different operations of all our locations, and she's learned every detail about Two Maids of the Mop over these 13 years. We have a new store trainer that's been with us 13 years that oversees the new store development.
This has got to be the most encouraging podcast I've done, because what I'm hearing you say is culture and core values, which is, again, it's just so encouraging to hear people, you know, saying the similar things. And, you know, I hate to say it, but the right answer is the right answer, right? A lot of times, and you said at the beginning, so many of us are, oh, we just got to pay more money, right? I pay $9 an hour. They pay $11 an hour down the road. That's a joke, right? These people work, we think of them as commodities often. And I what you called, right, when you've got people in front of you, two arms, two legs, I call it warm body syndrome of, right, we're talking about the same thing. And we think of the, well, if and when he or she quits, you know, 18 days from now, I'm not even going to learn his name until, you know, he's been here a month. You just say, oh, I'll just replace him with another one, replace him with another one. The problem is people look at us the same way and say, well, shoot, I've had a string of crappy $10 an hour jobs where they gave me $10 for an hour worth of work, but I wasn't a part of a community. I wasn't a part of anything bigger. I don't know what they believed in. I don't care. They didn't know what I believed in, and they didn't care. And I wasn't a human being. I was just, like you said, two arms and two legs. And it's the funny thing is people are like, I can't afford to pay more. Well, the good news is the answer is free. You just got to appreciate these people and understand what turns them on and what lights their fire and give them an opportunity to really be individuals and shine as people. So you are scratching where I itch, my friend. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm so in love with what you're saying, and I want to make sure we transition into what the opportunity looks like to work with you guys, because the more we talk, the more I'm like, man, these guys are killing it. So anything else on the hiring employee side before we kind of transition into what it looks like to be a franchisee?
No, that's kind of all I got with employees. I'm glad to hear there's another heartbeat for this industry. It's good to hear.
I'm telling you, if you go, I'm glad that all my podcasts have been coming out for a while. So you go listen to the past ones, you won't go, that guy's stealing my stuff. That's exactly what we do. Has he been inside of our business? I did him before I met you, my friend. But I promise you, I'm laughing because I know that just from the feedback I get, Cleaning Nation gets sick of me doing the rants. And it's almost like you and I are saying the exact same thing, both on the client attraction and customer attraction. And if you're anything like me, you get worn out with, you know, on the client attraction, well, just, you know, give me my magic bullet. What's my magic bullet? And you're like, I need to ask you 20 questions to understand more about your customer to know the magic bullet. And on the other side, I can't pay enough. And it's like, that's not it. Sure, you can't pay $4 an hour, right? You've got to be in that range. But if someone's going to leave you for 52 cents an hour, you got the wrong guy. Paying the extra 52 cents ain't the solution. You got a whole bigger problem. Okay. So now, I was excited before we spoke because I did a little research on you. You and I had spoken prior, and I was kind of like, all right, these guys are legit. But the more we're speaking, the more I'm like, wow, is this, you guys are just, you know, two peas in a pod here. So tell me, and again, I appreciate you coming on for a guest expert. I know you didn't come to pitch, but I want to hear, if I was looking to be in the space that we're talking about, the residential cleaning, obviously I'd be like, well, shoot, if I can afford Mike Camping, God bless me. But if, you know, this franchise thing sounds awesome, right? Instead of, I mean, I had a ServiceMaster franchise, and all the stuff that you're talking about, we got none of that. And I love ServiceMaster. They were awesome. They're a great organization. I love the people. But the support that you're talking about, if what I'm hearing is correct, is very different. I felt you guys really, if you're providing, you know, 5-7 leads a day, and you're kind of giving this training on leadership and building a culture and shared core values, that is, I'm all about that. So what would that look like? What do I need to do to qualify to be a franchisee? What does that process look like? What do I get? I mean, tell me everything you're willing to share.
For us, it's fairly simple. Just go to Two Mates Franchise and just do an initial, you know, fill out a form with name and information. Now, we have worked with cleaning businesses that have converted over to a Two Maids and a Mop. So what we do there is we negotiate a reduced franchise fee based on the sales of your current operations. So you basically get credit towards the franchise fee when it comes to being a franchise, because you're already bringing in revenue. So you basically do not pay what an outsider starting brand new would actually pay. So we do, like I said, offer reduced rates to come on board with us. And our first one was actually a company out of Tampa, Florida, called Collegiate Cleaning. To give you a little background, this happened 2.5 years ago. 2.5 years ago, Collegiate Cleaning was doing about $100,000 in sales annually, with one to slash two teams, maybe, if they were lucky, and they were still out cleaning houses. Today, they are doing exceptionally better than that. You're more than welcome to call Two Maids Tampa and talk to them about it, but some of the details I can't actually give. But they have grown tremendously. Year over year, they have been one of the fastest growing offices we've ever seen in our history. If they continue this pace, within a year, they could easily reach $1 million annualized, easily.
So tell me this.
And that's from,
hold on, I want to make sure I get that. What, from your perspective, and I totally respect, like, hey, if you want numbers, you have to talk to the owner. That's not your story to tell. So I appreciate your integrity there. But from a kind of a, I don't want to say third party because you're certainly involved, but from an outside perspective, right? You're not running their business every day and slugging it out. What are they doing differently than your other franchises or the non-franchisees? What are they doing that's kind of making them different or setting them apart?
Okay. The first is the name. There are a lot of people that sell hamburgers. And you know, there's big brands out there that people know and trust. With the Wendy's, with the Hardee's, you know what the burger's going to taste like. You know what the fries are going to taste like with McDonald's. There's consistency. The first thing that customers, of course, are drawn to is the brand name.
Wait, are you talking two maids? No, yeah, hold on. I want to get back on that track. But again, amongst the two maids and a mop, who all have the same, not the same name, but you know, they all have that two maids cachet. Why is the one in Tampa doing better than, you know, it sounds like they're kind of at the top quarter or 10% of your franchisees. Why is that two maids in a mop? What is that ownership doing better than others?
They actually may not be. I mean, we have offices of higher sales than they do. Yes. So they're not, they're in the top percentile. Yes. They're in the top 25%, just on growth rate alone and what they've seen. Why are they good? Okay. Well, one is our marketing strategy. I don't want to downplay, but what we do on the marketing side and what we do and how we source and how we get our leads is industry leading. So that was the first step. Two, they have followed our systems. They had no systems before. What made them be so successful is our marketing strategy and putting systems and values into place that they never had before. And they're believers of it. You call them today, they'll tell you all about it. They know every core value we have. They know every general standard we have, and it's on their wall in their office. They're believers in that, and that's what makes a good business owner, and that's what makes a good franchisee, that they say, you know, we get it, and we want to do it to the best of our ability.
So what I hear you saying is the same thing that attracts the right customers is the same thing that attracts the right employees. And for you, that's what attracts the right franchisees, right? You've got a certain set of core values. And if that's the people say, we don't really believe in that, but we'll abide, or, you know, because we like the franchise, I guess we'll force ourselves. That's not what you're looking for. These people, let me finish. We're kind of like you and I in terms of, oh my gosh, these guys are saying and believing and getting excited about the same things. And they came to you and you guys kind of got some synergy, no?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. So I love that you guys are just so consistent in terms of what you preach to your people about how they should attract talent is the exact same thing that you practice when you attract talent, right? You don't say we're the cheapest franchise or we'll make you the most money, or although I would imagine you guys do pretty well for your franchisees, but as big of an issue as that is, you don't say, hey, we'll make you more money than, you know, fill in the blank, I don't knock any competitors, or, you know, we're cheaper or any of that nonsense. You go, these are our values. These are what we believe in. If you believe in this, you're at home, you're in the right spot, and the money's going to work itself out. Now, if you don't believe in that, maybe the one down the road's better. I just love the consistency. You practice what you preach when you're looking down at getting customers for your employees or for your franchisees, when you're looking to get franchisees, when you're coaching on probably getting talent for yourself internally. It seems like you're all about core values and culture. I absolutely love that. So if I'm in, I don't want to say sold, but I'm chomping at the bit. I'm going, oh my gosh, this guy is exactly, where has David Luke been my whole life? They go to the website, which of course will be on the show notes page. But give that to me one more time. I'm looking forward to my notes. Give me the franchise side, if I could have both, and I'll put them both on the show notes page, but I'm assuming you have a forward facing kind of for the world site, and just so people can see, hey, here's what they're doing, here's what's working. And then the internal side, like, hey, I want to be a franchisee. What are those two sites so I can make sure I get them in the show notes right?
Two Mates Franchise is our franchise site that kind of gives you all the details about owning a Two Mates franchise. And then any of our offices, Two Mates Birmingham, Two Mates Knoxville, Two Mates whatever city name we're in, whether Two Mates Alpharetta, Two Mates Baton Rouge, You know, you can check out any of our local sites. So we develop the local sites for them as well, but our corporate site is JimHicksFranchise.com.
Cool. So if I sign up, and again, I just want to make sure I'm hearing things right. More importantly, Cleaning Nation is hearing things right. If I sign up for a franchise, I'm going to get a website from you guys. I don't have to do that myself. You guys will kind of provide that for me.
You know, it's funny that you actually said it. You know, we have done well. We've done well financially. We've grown. Our franchisees have done well for themselves, and our most of our franchisees are not just purchasing one territory. Most of our franchisees are in process of purchasing two or three. Our second franchisee has actually purchased five locations. They just keep buying them. So that they're kind of our best salespeople. But you know what we sold them on was not necessarily you're going to make a ton of money. We sold them on a principle that you just said. It was time. And I think you understand it with a customer. You're trying to give them time with a clean home and get time with their family. The same sellers for us in franchising, whether it's a cleaning business owner currently or whether it's somebody outside, we want to give you time as much as possible. We understand so many of the things that small business owners don't understand or have a grasp of that we do a lot of that for you. We do most all of those things that eat at your time and you can't focus on the business itself. We do those things. That's what we're giving to people. That's what we hear. You know, I think about my cleaning business. So I spend about 5 hours a week and it's doing great. Why is that? You said it right. We developed the website. We developed the marketing plan. We developed the call center. We developed all this stuff to help them get their time. And that's what we're trying to provide for our franchisees too. I think that's the number one commodity. Anybody that's had money, lost money, made money, if they're smart, they understand that time is the number one commodity. I don't care who you are, because you can ask an 85-year-old billionaire and they would take time over $1 billion every day of the week. And so that's our, in franchising, that's what we're trying to give people is time with their family, time of what they want to do.
Again, I love that consistency of, you're not just saying, hey, for our customers, we're saving them time. And we're, you know, because again, that's my least favorite message ever is money off or free this or discounted that, because you just attract the wrong folks. The best message is, would you like more time with your family? Do you want to come home and feel comfortable and be able to take a deep breath and have a nice oasis from the world out there? Those are such compelling messages. And I love that you don't stop with the end user, but write the same to the franchisee. Hey, you want, and it's so funny because we're selling the same thing in different ways. I do it through coaching. You do it through a much larger infrastructure, but we're saying, hey, if you want to spend the next decade beating your head against the wall and spending $500,000 figuring this all out for yourself, God bless you. Go do it. But if you'd like to follow people that have done that for you and we can, you know, have some sort of time money exchange, you give us money, we'll give you a decade of our lives or two decades of our lives or all of our lives corporately and kind of help you see around corners. Yeah, I love that message. All right, we're going to go forever. I can't have this be a 10-hour episode. I know you've got other things to do. Any final words for Cleaning Nation before we sign off?
Final words. Really, I just want to, wish the best of luck to everybody in this. I think at times this is a thankless business. It can sometimes be the lowest common denominator. You know, when it comes into people's lives, they don't always think highly of their maid service or house cleaning service. But it's a necessity that a lot of people now need. And I just want to offer encouragement to everybody in this industry that, you know, even though we're in franchising, you know, we want to help, and I want to help. And I have a concern for people. I value people. If they're in the business, they're out of business. I want to stay consistent to that. And I want to make sure that, everybody in your listening audience knows that, hopefully that we're here to help them and that you're here to help them, and even in that two-phase world, we want to help any way possible. So.
Well, Cleaning Nation, I got to say, I am constantly beating the drum on systems and processes and culture and core value. And I am a lot more limited in the resources I've got in terms of who I choose to work with. So I think if you are certainly going, and I know a lot of you out there are looking to get into the business, wow, if you have the opportunity to work with somebody or an organization that has got this stuff down, whew, if you don't have a conversation with them, that's to your detriment. At the very minimum, and again, David's just been consistent. Everything he said just absolutely stands up to everything I've experienced over 20 years of building businesses. So if you're looking to get into the business, it would absolutely behoove you. Take the time. Worst case scenario, you get an insight talking to these guys on what it looks like for some people doing it right. Best case, obviously, you just get all the systems and processes and everything it takes decades to figure out on your own in a box. And aside from the financial reward, just like David said, what's a decade of your life worth? What's feeling like I'm going to give up and I can't figure this out on my own every day for 2 or 3 years? I mean, good Lord, what's that worth? Second, I love, and I didn't realize this, David, so I'm so glad that you pointed that out. My fear was, you know, our audience is probably half and half, half wanting to get started, which obviously talking to you guys is a no-brainer, and half that are already starting go, well, yeah, I'm already doing $250,000. I would love that kind of stuff, but I'm too deep into it. I love that you guys have a process to recognize what those people have accomplished and come alongside of them and help them go farther, faster. So honestly, I don't know what their process is, but if you've listened this whole website, invested this kind of time, and you don't take the extra 5 minutes to check out their website, look what they're doing, check out a couple of the sites that they build for their people, which is awesome, and just speak to these people, as people that are getting it right, I really think you're doing yourself a disservice. So, David, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to go. I truly appreciate you, and I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. When you want to check out Dave's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, you'll find it at growmycleaningcompany.com. You can leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.